Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So more disgrace, at least in my view. I look at the removal of this Captain Brett Crozier from the USS Theodore Roosevelt. It's just a disgrace. And if you saw the video of him leaving the ship and all of the people cheering and all of that, it was a pretty powerful moment. Then you find out that he himself, is tested positive for the coronavirus. But on Sunday, evidently, our acting Navy Secretary, this Thomas Modley, went on a 15-minute rant on the ship aboard this USS Theodore Roosevelt, and just ripped into him. I guess called him basically naive and stupid, and it was just it just leaves a really bad taste. At least I think it does, and I think it sends the wrong message. But again, what do you expect out of this administration? Anyway, here to share some thoughts on how this virus, how this crisis is affecting our military and our veterans especially. I've asked Will Edick to come talk with us. Will is the executive director of the Union Veterans Council. Will, thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you so much for having me on tonight. It's one of those times where I'm glad to be able to wake up every day and help regular folks out, people who need a voice and people who just need someone in their corner right now. And I'm lucky enough to put in a lot of hours right now to try and make the best of what's coming out of either whether the administration or what's coming out being created in Congress to try and look forward and try and help working class folks out as they go through this pretty big crisis.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at this, and we have a lot of veterans who are, in desperate situations, either financially or mentally, and I'm really concerned about them in this time where we're supposed to be staying at home and isolated away from everyone else. I fear that this is one of those moments that things turn really ugly.
Yeah, and that's one of the fears for most folks in the veterans community. We've lived this story before. At the height of the Iraq War, at the worst time, a lot of veterans were getting out after a second, third deployment, and came right into the job markets coming out of the Great Recession. We saw skyrocketing unemployment in the veterans community. Very bad unemployment in the younger generation of folks trying to get a job. And what we're going to see a very big parallel to that. We're about to see a lot. We're already seeing high levels of unemployment in the veterans community. It's picking up for the first time in the recent future or recent past. We're starting to see the industries that are about to be affected. And we haven't seen the numbers from yet, but they're high veteran density jobs and industries, so we're very concerned about the economic fallout that is definitely going to turn into an issue with our veterans and putting our veterans in a situation where they're isolated, where their structure and their routine has been kind of thrown to the wind. We've got to pay attention to our veterans community as a very high risk community in this overall crisis. We're not trying to put one person above the other, but there are groups of people in our society that are more at risk, and it is very alarming, and my community is at risk right now.
No, I look at this, and every once in a while we have someone from the American Federation of Government Employees who points out that we're like 50,000 workers short at the VA, and a lot of that are nurses and care people, the kind of people who would keep track of folks. And while other resources are being taxed, my fear is those who aren't the most vocal, those are the people who fall through the cracks.
Yeah, I think overall, on the bigger scale, we're very scared of folks falling through the cracks in general, right? We're scared of workers that, maybe have abnormal work history and they're not going to receive the right stimulus. There's tons of veterans in that boat. We're scared of the workers that are falling through the cracks because or maybe it's parents of a worker that they don't file taxes because of SSDI or because they're a disabled veteran and they get 100% or 70% plus unemployability. They don't have to file taxes and they don't know if they're going to get any sort of stimulus. So there's a lot of people falling through the cracks. It's not just veterans, but it is it is really concerning in our community, and we do fear that this is going to lead. So we're trying to be as proactive as possible at the Union Veterans Council.
So what are you doing? I mean, you know, I'm hoping there's someone who's pushing this and advocating, because this is this CARES Act and this stimulus money, this is a huge pot of money. And I know corporate America's got their lobbyists. I know the very well-to-do. They've got their people. What about the little guy?
Hopefully we can make enough noise, and that's what I'm glad that. I'm glad I'm in the position I am. I get to try and be that voice. And we are about to start some pretty big initiatives. We held a task force of 31 unions just the other week to kind of plan out our strategy moving forward. We've got some key ideas and things we're going to work on. You know, one of the first things we're going to be doing is calling on states to create task forces to start monitoring the veterans community. You know, the biggest thing is we're going to get through this, America. We're going to get through this. But we're going to have to be prepared to rebuild on the other side. And if we're not thinking about that right now, we're going to fall behind. And we're going to find ourselves just like we did after the Great Recession, you know, 4 or 5 years down the road saying, why did something happen? Why do we have, you know, this rate of mental health in the veterans community? Why do we have this rate of unemployment? You know, we can start acting now. And it starts with, you know, monitoring and taking it serious, realizing this is a community to look at. And then on the other end, make sure that we are, you know, putting money aside for good training programs that put veterans to work, like registered apprenticeship programs with the DOL, like VIP and the Helmets of Hard Hats programs with the building trade. You know, we have an opportunity to give a lot of veterans, you know, a lifeline through organized labor. And I'm hoping to show that. I'm hoping to show that, you know, we're not just an organization for union workers. We're trying to also, on top of those legislative issues, we're starting to build a database of information that we're going to be launching next week for veteran-specific issues, veteran working issues around the COVID-19 crisis. And we're going to start doing some interactive town halls, webinars around coping skills for our veteran members and all veterans, learning how to use physical fitness as a way to take care of yourself, learning how to maybe cook, and doing this all through the eyes of combat veterans teaching other combat veterans or other veterans in general coping mechanisms, and then maybe do some things with some partner organizations that we're pretty happy to we'll announce later on. But all in all, trying to let folks know that we're in their corner. They don't have to be alone.
Right.
We've got people working to find the information to give to the American workers in the labor movement. And it's not just for our members, it's for all workers.
Yeah, and the key there, not being alone, because look, this is extremely stressful for anybody, and I can't imagine how stressful this is for someone who's struggling with a disability or a mental health issue or, you know, financial issues. Just knowing that there might be someone to reach out to and talk with or reach out for help, I think that's extremely important.
Yeah, I think that's the first and foremost, and I think that goes for anybody, right? Pick up the phone, call someone you haven't called in a while. Right, I think we're the most connected group of people in society in the history of the world. Right, we can reach across the world in an instant with an email or a cell phone call, but many times we don't do that. I don't pick up the call every time my dad calls from Ireland. I've been trying to pick up a lot more lately. You know, I don't always pick up the phone to call my mom. I've been doing it a lot more lately. Making sure that folks know you're there for them is important. So if you do have veterans in your life, or if you know someone who you know is struggling through this, you know, reach out to them. It's important.
So what you're saying is a deadly global pandemic has made you think a little bit more about maybe taking dad's call or maybe calling mom.
You know,
is that what I'm getting?
I think you're getting that. I think that might have been the final good knock to remind me to do that, but it's really important, and we've got to remember that as we go through this, and unfortunately right now in American society, the world is so divided, and there's so much just anger and just built up anxiety, I think, and it's been steaming, and it's been growing for a long time. This isn't just, you know, this virus is a part of a larger story that's going on. And, you know, I truly believe we're going to come out the other side of it, and we're going to be better off for it. But it's going to take the realization that we have to work together. We've got to stop letting people just live on a teeter totter in the American economy. For too long, whether it's you're a small business or a worker, you really don't have a shot in American society, and you're always just one catastrophe away from bankruptcy or utter financial ruin. And we've got to figure out how to change that. We have to figure out how to make sure that the American workers that are the majority of our country can make enough to spend money at those local businesses to make a small city viable to open a business then. We've got to take a couple looks at ourselves as a country. And I really think that some of the progressive ideas that, especially when it comes to workers' rights, are going to help lead the charge as we move out of this.
No, that's the hope. And it's, it's one of the things that I've been saying here for the last couple of weeks, that I have some bit of hope that we've done the organizing over the last couple of years, that I think the groundwork has been laid, that as we come out of this, you're going to see people who are going to demand their voice be heard. They're going to, if we're calling them heroes and we're calling them essential workers now, they're going to want to be called heroes and essential workers down the road. And with that comes a reasonable living and health care and something of a retirement security. I just think that's almost a must at this point.
No, I think so. I had an opportunity to be on a phone call with a couple of lawmakers last week, and I heard all these labor leaders, and each one of them was talking about their members and each industry they represent. And they fought for a unique issue for each one of their workers, but all they were doing was spending their time, and you could tell it in their voice, fighting for these workers. And when I got on, I said, for 30 minutes, you just heard these union leaders fight for their workers. The unfortunate thing is only 10% of Americans have people doing that for them right now. And what I want is, I want regular Americans to realize that, we're not just fighting for our members, we're fighting for every worker. But if you guys can join together and realize that you have power by joining into a union, you can really move the mountain. You can get people in your corner because, I know a lot of folks, they're waking up and they're a couple of days late on their rent. They don't know how they're going to pay it, and they're struggling. I know musicians that haven't worked for a month now. I know many of my friends that are veterans, that are bartenders, that work in hospitality, that are out of work. I know professionals that have had to use up their entire 2 years worth of sick leave or vacation time that they've been saving up for a family holiday just to be able to, make ends meet for another couple of weeks while they pay student debt loans. This is much bigger than just what we're looking at right now. And hopefully it's a challenge that we're up for and a challenge that we're ready to take on and really show us why we are the greatest country in the world.
No, you're absolutely right. And as I've said, I'm hoping this wakes people up and the eyes open to all of the inequalities that we've been suffering for the last 40 years. And maybe on the other side of this, it gets better. If someone wanted to get more information about the work that you do, where would they go?
Definitely go to unionveterans.org. It's our website. You can follow us on social media, either on Twitter or Facebook. We put a lot of good information out. You'll be seeing a lot of articles flying around from our website that we're putting out. But social media, usually you can stay up to date. If you look up Union Veterans Council, AFL-CIO, you're going to find us. Just hang in there for each other and make sure you can do what you can where you can. Call out people that are not taking this stuff serious. It's your duty as an American to do that. You remember those posters we had in World War II? Saying we need you to take care of security and safety. We need people taking care of my mom, who's got tons of preconditions and is at a high risk, in rural America. We need people making sure that those streets are empty also.
Yeah.
So
it's kind of hard though when you've got a commander in chief who tells you wear a mask, but I'm not going to do it.
Well, I think that we're seeing a very good example of leadership, and unfortunately, it's the wrong type of leadership. It's the leadership that is completely consumed with how to make themselves feel better or be the only person that can solve a problem. And if for most leaders, know that neither of those are the way to actually lead. And there has been such a cult-like following that we saw sitting governor, good people that aren't bad people, changing their entire, you know, holding up, putting the safety of their citizens just because they were scared that they were going to go against the word of the president of the United States. That's a problem. And that is a serious problem that I really hope that a lot of Americans realize, and I'm seeing it happen. But there's a serious lack of real leadership in this country right now, and that void needs to be filled in a time like this.
I'm right there with you, and I go back to this, this where I started with this Brett Crozier, this Captain Crozier. being relieved of his command because the audacity to say that, you know, they're not getting what they need. And as someone who has never served in the military, look at this and go, good on him for wanting to protect the people under his command. But on Sunday you had the acting Navy director or Navy secretary just ripping him in public.
So I'm not going to say I agree with a lot of the coverage that has came out about this. I'm kind of someone who I like to make sure I know exactly what went down before I jump to judgment. But what I will tell you is there's different types of leadership in the military. True leaders know that when the time comes to make the right decision, no matter what the outcome is, when it's for the betterment of their soldiers, and when they put their lives and their careers, that is more important than anything else when you come to a military officer on the line for their soldiers, and they're willing to do that, whether he knew it was going to get leaked or he did it on purpose, whatever. He knew by sending that letter, he was doing a cardinal sin when it comes to military regulations and rules, but he also knew he was putting his soldiers first. And I think that's a lesson that our president could learn. It's definitely a lesson the Secretary of Navy could learn. And whatever happens, maybe he deserves to not be in command, but he deserves to be a true leader, and that's what he is to those sailors, and that's what really matters at the end of the day.
Yep, I agree. Will, I appreciate the time. Always great talking with you. Stay safe, and I look forward to talking to you on the other side.
You too. Thank you so much, and anytime. Talk to you later.
Good stuff. Will Adig, Executive Director of the Union Veterans Council. Unionveterans.org is their website. Make sure you check that out, especially if you know a veteran. Maybe pass that along. Quick break. Right back. Stick around.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.